Amen. That certainly is good to see everyone. That is for sure. And it's good to be seen. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 25. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, you can lift up your hand and our ushers and I will be in the aisles. They'll give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. If you do have a Bible, you just weren't able to bring it with you to church this morning, you can give that Bible back to our ushers at the end of the service. We're going to the book of Matthew chapter 25. And if on the screens, if you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. On the screens, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. Not sure if we'll get to them. We didn't last service, but let's have them available just in case. Matthew 25 is one of my favorite chapters, at least here recently. I found myself meditating in it quite a bit. And the reason why I personally enjoy it so much is because, obviously, a lot of it's in red here, which means it's the words of Jesus, the words of our Lord. And so, obviously, when you see words like that, we need to pay attention to them. But Jesus here in Matthew chapter 25 is not just preaching, but he's preaching on what I can gather from his favorite subject. Jesus, whenever he preached, it seemed like he would always come back to the same subject, and that was the kingdom of God, or also called the kingdom of heaven. And here in this particular chapter, he's doing, like he does so often, he's giving natural stories to amplify or using as an example for a spiritual point on how the kingdom of God operates. Now, this is critical. Now, I can't emphasize this enough. It is critical that you and I understand this passage of Scripture. I can remember, in fact, years ago, I went out to an Increase seminar that a man named Bob Harrison was putting on. And he had several speakers, and one of the speakers got up and taught out of this passage of Scripture that we're about to read. And when he began teaching, I kid you not, it was like the light bulbs went off in me. You know, so oftentimes as a pastor, you wonder why one person is seeing the word produce in their life. Well, it seems like another person is just not seeing any change, and both of them are hearing the same thing, but yet not experiencing the same types of results. And when he was teaching out of this that conference, man, like I said, light bulbs just went off on me. Let's look here in this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven." Now, let's just stop right there. How many of you know that when you got born again, you got translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son? So you are in this kingdom. Now, we go over this quite a bit, but it's important that you understand this. A kingdom is a type of government. You know, we live in the United States. It is a democracy. And in this government, you have certain set of rules and principles that we all strive to live by. And there are consequences if you break those rules and break those laws. And the kingdom of God is a type of government as well. Even when Jesus was prophesied about his coming and his death, burial, and resurrection, it said the government shall be upon his shoulders. Well, what is that government? That government is the kingdom of heaven. You, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, got placed into that kingdom, which means the laws that govern the kingdom now govern your life. And Jesus is about to go over one of those laws. Watch what he says here in verse 14. "The kingdom of heaven is as unto a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Verse 15, "And unto one," this is so interesting, "unto one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. Now, notice that you have 3 individuals here, all of them in the likeness of the kingdom of heaven. And to these 3 individuals, he treats them differently. to one he gives five. Now, we're talking about how the kingdom of God operates. You're in that kingdom, which means you live by these laws. And in the kingdom of God, one will be given five. One will be given two, and one will be given one. Now, wait a minute. I thought God was not a respecter of persons. And he's not, friend. He's not a respecter of persons. He loves each one of us the same. We're all his children, and he doesn't have any favorites. But while God is not a respecter of persons, he is a respecter of other things. One of the things that he respects is faith. Without it, I don't care who you are, it's impossible to please him. He respects faith. There are a couple of other things. In fact, I thought about doing a series on this, what all God respects. But we see here in this particular scripture why he gave 1-5, 1-2, and 1-1. He was respecting something. Now, there's no respecter of persons, but these people were different. He was respecting something different in them. Now, watch this. In verse 15, to one he gave 5, to another he gave 2, to another he gave 1. To every man according to his several what? Ability. So God wasn't respecting the people, but he was respecting the people's what? Ability. Now notice this. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So to one he gave 5, to another one he gave 2, and to another one he gave 1. Now this is how the kingdom of God operates. Why does one have more than the other? Is it because God loves them more? No. They have more than the other because of their ability. Now what type of ability is he looking for here? If God is basing increase, and this talent here is money, it's not talking about a talent for piano, it's talking about literal money. If God is basing that off of a certain type of ability, what ability is that? What is God looking for? There are a lot of different types of abilities. You know, we just had praise and worship, and there were people up here who have the ability to sing, the ability to play music. There are other people who have abilities to do different things. What type of ability is God looking for in order to bless people in this kingdom? This is why these next passages of Scripture, the continuation of this story, is so important. Because if you understand this, you just learned how to increase God's way. Watch this. To one he gave 5, to another one he gave 2, to another one he gave 1, each man according to his ability. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 talents more. Verse 17. And likewise, he which had gained 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now notice this phrase here in verse 19. After a long time. How many of you know Jesus doesn't just toss out words? No, he says things for a reason, and these words are in here for a reason. Oftentimes it seems as if the opportunities that the Lord brings our way take a while in their development, take a while in their coming. And this is why you got to understand what we talked about last week. There is a work that patience must do in your life. If you and I do not allow patience to have her perfect work, we will never get to a place where we're standing perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So after a long time, the master came, and there was a day of reckoning. Now, this is how the kingdom of God works. Apparently, in the kingdom of God, there are days of reckoning. You could say it this way, days of judgment. Now, when you mention words like judgment, immediately people's minds just kind of go tilt. And they think of only one type of judgment, and that is in the negative sense. We shouldn't think that way. On this day of reckoning, this day of judgment, there were 3 individuals who got judged. 2 proved to be in the right. And they got rewarded for it. There are judgments that a judge can yield that actually work in your favor. Judgment is not a bad thing. And God is a righteous judge in your life and in mine. There is a day of judgment, a day of reckoning. And on that day of reckoning, we have to give an account for something. What do we have to give an account for? Let's find out. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Verse 20, and so he that received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I like that. You know, we hear a lot of people say little things, and that is appropriate. But I like this word few, too. You've been faithful over a handful of things. Not a lot, just a couple of things, a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22. And he that had also received 2 talents came and said, Lord, hey, you gave me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. What is Jesus talking about here? He is saying, this is how the kingdom of God works. This is how it operates. And if you're born again, you're in this kingdom. How does it work? He gives everyone in the kingdom something. That's one of the points, the first point that I want to make mention of here. There were 3 individuals in the kingdom. They all got something. So if you're in the kingdom, it means that right now there is something that the Lord has delivered unto you. Some of us have received more than others. And it's not because God is a respecter of persons, but it's point number 2. He does respect ability. What type of ability is he looking for? He's looking for your ability to be disciplined, or you could say faithful, with what he has given to you. The third individual, we'll read about him in verse 24. He says, then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid that talent in the earth. And lo, here is thou that thus has, it's now yours. And he gave the talent back to him. And his Lord answered and said unto him, keep in mind, this is how the kingdom of God works. Thou wicked and slothful. This word slothful means undisciplined. Thou wicked and slothful or undisciplined servant. You knew that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received my own usury, saying I should at least gotten some interest if you'd have just taken it to the bank. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Jesus is saying, this is how the kingdom operates. Everyone in my kingdom, if you're born again, you're in it, receives something from the Lord. Some receive more than others. And it's not because God likes them more, but he does respect their ability. Well, what ability does he respect? Their faithfulness, or you could say, their discipline over that which he gives them. The 2 faithful servants who the Lord not only allowed to keep the increase that they brought, but said, since you turn this 5 into 10, not only do you get to keep the 10, but I'm going to make you a rewarder over many things. I'm going to bring many more things besides this into your life. Why? You've proven yourself disciplined. You've proven yourself faithful over that which I put into your hands. Man who had two, he did the same thing to him. But the man who had one, we get the idea that he just went out and buried it. He had that one talent, and I don't know if he thought, this is such a little thing. There's no use in even trying to do anything with that. I mean, after all, it's just so little. I mean, it's just one talent. What's going to come out of that? And so he just went and buried it. He could say it this way. He paid no attention to it. Didn't think about what the Lord put in his hands any longer. And when the day of reckoning came, the Lord came to him and said, what'd you do with it? And he just said, I didn't do anything with it, basically. I just went and buried it. Jesus said, that's wicked and that is undisciplined. And not only did he not receive any increase, but actually what he had got taken away from him. And Jesus said, this is how my kingdom works. We need to understand this. What has the Lord given you? I don't know. I think for all of us, there are a measure of natural things that we could look at and say the Lord's given us. I think we all ought to take stock with how we treat those natural things. If you're married, your husband or spouse, that's something that the Lord's given to you. How do you treat that? How you treat that determines whether or not he'll bring anything more into your life. Your job, how do you treat that? Do you do your work as unto the Lord? It may be a little thing, but it's those little things that determine the big things that the Lord wants to bring in. It could be something as simple as how you keep your house or how you keep your car. Faithful in those little things opens up the door for God to make a rewarder over much. But I think that this also has an underlying spiritual tone to it. That's more than just natural things. In God's kingdom, God will always, and we'll look at another scripture that confirms this, God will always, in your life and in mine, present opportunities, days of reckoning, days where judgment comes. And like I said, judgment does not mean it's bad. Judgment can be awesome. It can be amazing. A judge can yield a result that causes people to jump up and down in excitement because of what he judged. But it can also be a day of bitter disappointment if you come down on the wrong side of that judgment. We are not in control of the day of reckoning. That's one thing that we see here. These three men didn't know when he would come back. They didn't know when the day of reckoning would come. In fact, it was a long time away. From the time that he gave them the talent, it was a long time until he came to judge what they did with it. We're not in control of when the Lord comes and evaluates and takes stock of what we've done. It's God's job to present the opportunities. It's his job to present the opportunities in the days of reckoning. Like we said last week, success happens when opportunity meets preparation. That's the way success always happens. But on our side, man's side, we are not in control of the opportunity. It's God who opens the doors. It's God who brings the opportunities. He's in control of that. I can't control that. It's God's side. It's his job to bring the opportunity. Only he can do that. But on the other side, the preparation side, God can't prepare us. Now, he can, in a way, help us get prepared, give us the tips and the things we need to work on to be prepared. And that way, I guess you could say he does prepare us. But ultimately, it is up to us to be disciplined in the thing he's telling us to do. We're in control of the ultimate preparation. And when God's opportunity meets our preparation, we will have success in life. I say all of this because I believe with all of my heart that as we approach a new year, I believe that there's going to be for the majority of us in this room an opportunity from the Lord. We're not in control of that. You can't make it happen. It could be next week. It could be next month. It could be next year. We're not in control of the spiritual seasons of our life. The vision is for an appointed time, and often we don't know when that is. Just like these men didn't. It's in God's hands, but He will bring it across our path. So even if it doesn't happen next year for you, know there will be a time where it does happen. And when it does happen, we have to be prepared for that opportunity, or else we will be like this man with one talent who winds up bitterly disappointed because he was not prepared when the opportunity came. When the Lord puts something on your heart, He's put it in your hands. What do you do with it when He does put something on your heart? Oftentimes, those somethings are very little, in our minds, insignificant things. Like the man with one talent. What is this really going to do in my life? Well, this little thing that the Lord is dealing with me about, does that really make the difference between walking in increase and not? For instance, I was talking to a businessman a couple of years ago, and he was in a season of his life where everything was clicking on all cylinders, seeing increase in revenue and in profit. But here's the interesting part. The industry as a whole was not seeing any increase. In fact, they were seeing decrease in revenue and definitely decrease in profit. A lot of them were getting in the red fast. Yet in the middle of this, this guy is producing on all cylinders. So I had breakfast with him. I think it was breakfast, could have been lunch. But we were sitting there talking. I was asking him, what's going on? What are you doing differently than your competition? I knew his results. He had just given a large check to a missionary. And he's just seeing this kind of radical increase in his life. And I asked him, I said, what is going on in your life? What are you doing that's making your business produce like this? And he said, you know what? In the natural, I can't think of anything we're doing differently. Our sales strategy is still the same. We haven't hired any new employees. It's not some new type of strategy. It's the same one we were implementing in years past. He says, just working for us. He said, although from a spiritual standpoint, he said that a couple of months before that, the Lord had been dealing with him in his time of prayer that he was having in the mornings to, on his way to work, pray. The Lord was placing that on his heart. Now, here's what I'm getting at. When the Lord does that with you or with him or with me, when he put that on your heart, guess what you just became? A steward. A steward of that instruction. What do you have to do once you're a steward? Well, you got to have an ability. What ability is he looking for? Your ability to be faithful with that thing he's given you. To be disciplined with it. To carry it out. This man, the Lord put that on his heart. Pray on your way to work. Pray on your way home from work. I asked him, I said, how long is your commute to work and back? It's about 15 minutes. So is this a big change? No, this is like a one talent deal. It doesn't seem very significant. Pray on your way to work. Pray on your way from work. 30 minutes. Don't listen to sports radio. Don't listen to talk radio. Don't listen to music. Pray. And he said, you know what? I did that. And I've been doing it till this time. And he said, if I had to point to anything that I was doing differently, that can be the only thing that has changed from this season of my life to the last one. Could that be the thing that made the difference? Could that be the thing that produced all the results? According to Matthew chapter 25, it certainly looks like it. You've been faithful with a few things. You've been faithful with very little things. Now you're ready for the many. Now you're ready for the big things. Does it really matter? I don't know, but I do have to wonder this. I wonder how many people heard the same thing but didn't do it. And then they're wondering, how come this stuff doesn't work for me? Does it make a difference? You better believe it does. How does the kingdom of God operate? The Lord puts something in your hands according to your ability to handle it. Now, that's interesting because that means the Lord will never ask more of you than you can do. He's asking you to do something according to what you can do, according to your ability. That's what makes him a just judge. He was never unfair. If he puts something on your heart to do, that means you can do it. He's giving you that instruction according to your ability. And once he does that, from there, it's your job to be faithful with it. It's your job to be disciplined with it. Well, when is it going to pay off? I don't know. The day of reckoning, it's in his hands. What's in my hands, though, is just be prepared. I was listening, even on the way over this morning, listening to a minister talk, and she was talking about her parents who are very successful in ministry. If I said their names, you'd all know them. And she was saying that before their ministry ever took off, ever expanded, they had just started it and they were struggling big time. And they were in prayer asking the Lord, you know, what do we do? Turn this thing around, that kind of thing. And she said her mother got a word from the Lord. And you know what the word from the Lord was? When you do laundry, do it. Don't just let it sit there. Don't pull it out of the dryer. Do some of it and then do something else. When you go over to the sink, don't have dishes just sitting there. Do the dishes. And she said the Lord told her to do that. Somebody said, would the Lord ever tell you to do those natural things? From Scripture, I'd have to say yes. Somebody said, well, give me an example. Okay, first miracle, Jesus. Here he is, he's at a wedding, they run out of wine. Very natural thing. Mary's concerned about this. I guess she knows the people whose wedding it is. She wants to make them look good. And so she comes and asks Jesus to do something about it. Jesus says, yeah, my time's not come yet, but he winds up doing it anyway. He loved his mama. And she pulled over two guys. You know what she told them? She said, whatever he, pointing to Jesus, tells you to do, do it. You know what he told him to do? Something very natural. He didn't say, go over there, wave your hand and pray three times. He didn't tell him to grab a hold of it and go get six prophets to anoint it. Told him to do something very natural. He said, take these pots over there to the well and fill them with water. That didn't make any sense. We need wine, not water. They could have debated that all day long. What in the world is water going to do to make a difference in this situation? Will dishes, doing the dishes, really turn the ministry around? Will doing laundry really help things? Faithful over little things will make you a ruler over much. You know what they did? They heard that from Mary. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. They go over there. You know what the Bible says they did? They filled the water pots up to the brim. Now, the Bible never mixes words. If it says something, it's because it's significant. They filled it up to the brim. Maximum obedience. They weren't halfway into this. They were good stewards with the word the Lord gave to them. He said, go over there and fill up the water pots. Fill them with water. They went over there and did that. But they didn't just do it half-heartedly. They obeyed to the maximum. Were good stewards. They were faithful over the word that the Lord gave to them. They took the water pots up to the ruler of the feast. He drew it out. When he did, the water was changed into wine. Instant miracle. He said, most people, they serve the best at the first, but you guys have saved the best for last. Very natural thing. How did it come? How did miracles happen? And do you think it's any coincidence that that was Jesus' first miracle? It sets a precedence for all the rest of Jesus' miracles. You know how they got it? You know how they got the miracle? They did whatever he told them to do. Go show yourself to the priest. Stretch forth your hand. Fear not, only believe. That's how all miracles start, friend. He tells you to do something, and you do it. Even something as simple as when you do the laundry, do it. You know what? They did the laundry. They did the dishes. They said since that point, it seems like things have been increasing. Now, obviously, along the way, he deals with them to do something else. What's the Lord been dealing with you about? Do you know the job of the Holy Spirit, his first job description for you is to lead and guide you into all truth? He's going to show you what you need to do. He will show you what you need to do. And then his second job description is to bring to your remembrance the things that Christ has said unto you. So not only is he showing and revealing to you all truth, the things that you need to do, but also he's going to keep reminding you of those things to make sure you are a good steward. He's going to give you every bit of help he can give you. Why? To get you prepared. For what? The opportunity that the Lord is bringing your way. So in your life, somebody said, well, what disciplines do I need to be disciplined in? I don't know. That's between you and the Lord, but I do guarantee you this. If you're in the kingdom of God, if you've called upon the name of the Lord, in your life, he will come to you and say, I want you to work on this. And I want you to work on this. Oftentimes, it's just a handful, a few things. He didn't give us 17 things to major on. When I was first starting in ministry, I was in prayer, and he told me to do three things. Keep your hands clean, walk in love, stay pure before me. Number two, inquire of me. Whenever you don't know what to do, inquire of me. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. Number three, don't think survival, think increase. Those three things. Now, since that time, he's told me to do a couple of other things. When I do those things consistently, though, those three are the core of my life. Heaven kisses earth. It's a fact. Every time I do them, heaven kisses earth. And it's not because I'm special. It's just a matter of stewardship. What he deals with you to do you do it? Now, there are other times in my life where it's, man, things aren't clicking. I can go back to those three things or some of the other things and say, I need to refine that. What has he spoken to you to do? Could be something he spoke to your heart years ago. Could be something he spoke to your heart 2 weeks ago. Could be something that he asked you to do today in this service. Maybe it was something they told you to a long time ago, but like I said, now he's bringing it to your remembrance. You need to do this. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. That is the key to miracles. And oftentimes it does take faith. Faith is not just spoken, it's released through action. What's he telling you to do? What's he putting on your heart to do? Writing out New Year's goals, it's awesome. It's wonderful. Just writing down goals alone, you're 50 times more likely to achieve them. It's a scientific fact. Just writing them down. Why? It's not because man thought of it. God said, write the vision. So there's a spiritual power behind it. 50 times more likely to accomplish a goal if you just write it down. But did you know if you write down a goal, but you neglect to think about the disciplines it will take to reach that goal? The goal is as worthless as the paper it's printed on. We've got to come back and say, in my life, there are core values that the Lord has put on my heart to live by. And if I will live by those principles, he will do what he said he will do. There will be opportunities, days of reckoning, where he comes. And if we're ready, if we're prepared, there will be blessings. Let's read in Matthew. We're here in Matthew chapter 25. Let's read verse 1. We don't have to go anywhere. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the, once again, he's showing us how the kingdom operates. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but watch this, they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, and while the bridegroom tarried, once again, there is a waiting process. There is a part in both of these stories that we just read in the same chapter where patience is required. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish virgins said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye out rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now go back up to verse 3 with all that in mind. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. What did it take for them to get oil? We just read it in verse 9, last part of it. But go ye out rather to them that sell and buy some oil for yourself. They didn't have any oil for their lamps. Why didn't they? Because they never went to go buy it. Is going to buy the oil anything that's really hard? No. We see in the story, they went to go buy their oil, and it took them maybe 5-10 minutes. Go over there, buy the oil, and come back. That's what they told them to do. At any time, they could have done that. So why didn't they? Why didn't they? I think maybe they thought, well, we got more time. We got more time. We can do this another day. And then when the day of reckoning came, they weren't ready. They weren't prepared. The opportunity came, but it didn't meet their preparation. And because of that, they were bitterly disappointed. For the other five, though, they were ready. Not that they did anything hard. It's not that they were anything special. They just were faithful. They knew we need to be prepared when he comes. So let's go buy some oil now versus later. So they walked down to the store, did a very easy thing, not hard. And when he came, they were ready. Watch this in verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were what? They that were what? Ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open us. But he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Were they disappointed? Yeah, they were. Why were they disappointed? Did the Lord not come for them? No, he came. But when he came, they weren't what? Why weren't they ready? They lacked a very small discipline. Not anything big. They had the lamp. They just didn't go buy oil. Not anything big, but man, when the day came, they weren't prepared. See, when the Lord puts something on our hearts, it is him preparing us for what he has prepared for us. But it's up to us to be disciplined. I had a story about cottage cheese. I don't have the time to tell it. But if you buy the CD, that's what's going to be named. So you can buy the other CDs and hear the whole story. But the gist of it is this. What can you do now to be more ready for your coming opportunity? The opportunity, friend, it is coming. The day of reckoning, it is coming. I got a feeling in my gut it's going to be pretty quick here, coming into this new year. I don't know, though. No man knows. The opportunity, that's in his hands. But I got a feeling that coming up, there's going to be some very interesting things taking place. And for those who are prepared, they're going to walk in and not just receive a multiplication of the things they currently have in their hands, but also the Lord will say, I've seen your faithfulness. Well done, good and faithful servant. You handled that right. Man, I told you to do it and you did it. Good for you. Now, not only do you get to keep that, but because you were faithful in those few things, I'm going to make you a rewarder over many things. Somebody said, well, if it doesn't happen next year, well, it's going to happen. At some time or another, it's going to happen. The opportunity always does come. We don't know when, but it's coming. And when it does, the only thing that we can do is to be ready or not. And if you've done what the Lord has told you to do, you're ready. Keep doing it. If not, you've got some time here. Get ready now. Any adjustments you need to make, get ready now. It could be something very natural. Like for that minister's wife, it could be something that natural. It could be something very spiritual, like prayer, like for that businessman. It could be something very small. It could be something very big. It could be getting forgiveness. Forgiving someone from your heart for what they've done to you or said about you. It could be sowing a seed into someone's life or into a minute. It could be anything. I don't know. Like I said, for everybody, I think it's a little bit different. I was just talking to my wife the other day about this. Yesterday, during breakfast, I was sharing with her some of the things that the Lord was putting on my heart to do to get ready for next year. Like I said, if you're in the kingdom, he will deal with you about something you need to do. To every one of his people, he gave something to. So I started talking to her, and I was asking her, what's the Lord putting on your heart to get ready for? And she listed a couple of things, completely different from mine. Completely different. The Lord was telling her, major on these things. But whatever he's telling you to do, you'd be wise to do it. You'd be wise. I want you to encourage you for homework. Yeah, you got homework today. The only difference is the test doesn't come from me. It'll come from the Lord. But Luke chapter 8, study it. Luke chapter 8, study it. Mark chapter 4, study it. The word comes to every man, and when it comes, it hits your heart. The key is to whether or not you produce any fruit from the word that was spoken will be whether or not you paid attention to it, whether you kept it with patience, kept doing it day in, day out, day in, day out. If you do that and don't get distracted, you will produce fruit. Man, you've been awesome. I literally could preach to you all day, literally all day we could go on. But you know, you got to leave so you can come back. But you've been a wonderful audience today. Let's bow our heads, go before the Lord.